This is Rod Peterson on demand. Now,
Thursday night football, the Denver Broncos at the New York Jets. This game tonight will be like watching two old people have sex.
How about that?
That's why you have to keep watching, because you don't know the next word out of my mouth. And I know that because I don't know the next word out of my mouth. Everybody's awake today.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Away we go into hour two of the program of a Flame Tech Football Friday. Flame Tech, your industry leader in combustion services, and we thank them for coming on board weeks now as the presenting partner of Football Friday. John Frenzy is with us until the bottom of the hour. My prediction did not hold up of Thursday Night Football last night. You just heard it in the intro. The Denver Broncos knocked off the New York Jets 37-28 at MetLife Stadium in a game that was pretty entertaining. We were here in the bunker broadcasting our CFL Sim Esports League game, and it wasn't much of a game. Trevor Harris threw for three touchdowns, 471 yards, and the Edmonton football team had their way with the Saskatchewan Roughriders 49-12, and now the Roughriders have lost four in a row. The better game was Thursday Night Football, and nobody would have predicted that.
That was a good game. I was surprised.
Yeah, surprising.
Yeah. The Jets are hopeless, but they played pretty good last night. They could have won that, but a couple of bad passes by quarterback and big interceptions. But overall, I thought that wasn't a bad game. Really impressed the way Denver came back.
For those that missed hour one, here are the quick six show topics, and we'll delve right back into them and then be joined by Ken Reed of Rogers Sportsnet. We've also got Jerry Flagel coming up, mayoral candidate for the city of Regina coming up with the election in November. But first, let's do the quick six show topics. Jordan, please. Topic one, what we just covered, Thursday Night Football. Denver Broncos got their first win of the season, 37-28 over the New York Jets. Brett Rippon was made to look like an all-star for Denver by a putrid Jets defense. Am I right?
Right, you sure are.
Point two, more on the XFL's return. Point three, Football Canada announcing on Thursday that they will be having the first ever, in memory anyways, Canadian Football Summit beginning this month. Virtual meetings with Football Canada, the CFL, Canadian Junior Football League, and youth sports. All of them getting together, using this time without football in Canada to come back stronger.
Leo Esrins, your guy, Leo Esrins, a great guy, really with a great football player, mean tough, eh?
Yeah.
He wants to win. So when I hear him saying that it's good, I really get a lift because I think he's terrific. And he was mad at you for suggesting, it's nothing going to happen. I know I feel the same way too, but they're sure making a good move. This is a good move, getting all the teams together, all the areas together.
Well, Leo doesn't have much to do with this. This is Jim Mullen, the Football Canada president, but I get what you're saying. Point four, Moose Jaw Warriors to review their logo. I'll just give you a quick summation of what I said last hour. I don't care anymore. If the Moose Jaw Warriors change their logo, they do. If they don't, they don't. I can't keep up with who's offended and who's not. I know what the intention was of that team name and that logo. And if it's a problem now and it wasn't 30 years ago, wait, I don't care.
Fans love the logo. Let me tell you.
It's an amazing logo.
Why irritate the fans? The fans are important.
Point five, fans are important. They're the whole damn thing.
That's right.
Point five, NBA Finals Game 2 goes tonight. Arash Madani was on here yesterday saying, don't think that the rout, the Lakers over the Heat in Game 1, was 118-96, is indicative of how the series will go. We'll find out tonight in Game 2. And there's a Major League Baseball tripleheader on today. Miami at Chicago, St. Louis at San Diego, and Milwaukee at the Dodgers. So baseball on all day. We know you'll be watching. Well, come back around on the football talk in a moment, because it is a Flame Tech Football Friday. We got a lot of time to do it. But let's bring in Ken Reed now from Rogers Sportsnet, your favorite anchor over there. Male anyways. How you doing, Kenny?
Good, Rod. How are you, buddy?
Good. His latest book, Ken Reed's One to Remember, Stories from 39 Members of the NHL's One Goal Club. We're going to talk about your book. I've read it. I love it. But hey, I'm watching you every morning, by the way, because Sportsnet Connected lining up works really well with my workouts and my steam that follows. I've switched from the other network.
Yes.
So when the Jays...
Good.
When the Jays pulled Matt Shoemaker in Game 1, You said somewhere the analytics said they had to. Did you get any flack for that?
From my bosses or from
anybody,
fans? Or?
Viewers, the Blue Jays, your bosses, what?
No flack from my bosses, but of course flack from fans on Twitter. Because the one thing about the analytics people is even when they fail, they don't admit they're wrong. They'll say, oh, well, that was the best decision. Well, how do you know it was the best decision? Because you didn't try the other one and the other one didn't work. I just don't get it. I just don't get why you don't go with your ace in game one. What kind of message does it send to the guys in your clubhouse? We got an ace, guys. We spent $80 million on Hyun-Jin Ryu. He's just coming off a fantastic start, but we're going to save him for game two because, hey, if we take game one, that's fine. But if not, we'll win game two. What? Who goes into a series going, you know what, if we drop the first game? You go in, you got to go Cobra Kai, right? Like, got to go for it. And they did not go for it. I just don't get it. That's right. That's right. Sweep the leg, man. Go for it. I just don't get the philosophy of, well, you know, maybe we'll try the philosophy of Shoemaker's throwing 35 pitches.
Oh, we were just getting going, and I was loving the Cobra Kai reference, too. Clark's going to get on that, and we'll refresh and come back with Ken Reed. By the way, Leo Ezrins is watching in Hamilton, John. He says, thank you, Frenzy. We are hoping to join the group. We believe CFL alumni need a voice.
Oh, for sure. I can't believe they don't have them now.
Well, they will.
Well, I know, but I've talked to different alumni of different organizations. Winnipeg Bombers alumni are really involved with the Bombers. The other teams in Canada appears they're not. Like here in Regina, nobody, executive on that Rough Rider team, executive on that executive board ever played football, I don't think. But the Riders alumni, of the alumni I talked to, which is most of them, they have not been approached to be on the executive of the Rough Riders, which is ridiculously stupid because most Americans, very good businessmen, could really help the executive, and they know football. Right now, there's nobody on that Rider executive who's played football.
I need to pause for a second. I don't know how we went down that road. But anyways, Ken, you're back. And you cut out right when you said about Matt Shoemaker getting 35 pitches. We had the Cobra Kai reference and all the rest.
Yeah.
But yeah, how do you pull him out after 35 pitches? Continue, please.
See, that's what happens when I don't do the show from the deck. I always do the show from my deck and I lose my connection. So sure, I just don't get how the eye test doesn't take over at some point. But the analytics community has totally taken over baseball. You can't argue with anything they say because they've proven it wrong. I've said it before. Analytics, it's just a way for it's a way for people who've never played the game to try and prove that they're smarter than people in the game. And I just don't get it because, if I'm talking hockey with Wendell Clark, Wendell Clark knows more about the game than me. He'll know more than I'll ever know because he's been there. But with the analytics people, they just don't seem to follow that, and I don't get it.
You know, Wendell should be on the air somewhere for that exact reason. Like I said, Wendell, why don't we see 2-on-1s anymore or 3-on-2s? You don't see him, Ken. And he's like, the game's going too fast. There's not enough time to set it up, right? Like,
correct.
Wendell knows. It should be a hashtag, Wendell knows. Anyways.
Should be, yeah, the game's too fast. But I could go on analytics forever because the fact that they're trying to, well, they have gotten their way into hockey, but hockey's so random. And, I mean, with the hockey, the way it's played now, I've been on this rant as well, Rod, but what the NBA has done, what the NFL has done, they find ways to increase offense and reward teams for playing offensively. The NHL has to do that at some point because, I'm sorry, game six of the finals, but that was not a classic. That was, as a neutral observer, that was tough to watch at times. It was that boring. And that's game six of the Stanley Cup final.
I believe you said that on the air, too. There was no suspense.
It was trouble one day, I think.
No, keep doing what you're doing, man. Well, I'm watching out here anyways, and I enjoy it. Wendell Clark would never be part of your one-to-remember, one-goal club, of course, because he scored a ton. But I will just say this to prove that I read it. My favorites were Billy Smith and Robbie Skrlak. There's a name.
Yeah.
There's a name from the past.
Yeah.
Tell our viewers what your latest book's all about.
Okay, so One to Remember, with a foreword by Saskatchewan legend Colby Armstrong, is
just
about guys
him.
Who scored just a single NHL goal. So one goal and one goal only. So as a dreamer, as a wannabe hockey player, I thought, man, it must be awesome to score a goal in the NHL. But then I thought, what if it ended after one? What is that like? Is that the end of the journey? Is it part of the journey? Does it take you somewhere else? So that's what One to Remember is about. So I talked to 39 guys who scored a single NHL goal. They told me their stories. As you know, Rod, I'm no Shakespeare. I write like I'm sitting with the guys having a soda pop, and that's kind of how the stories come across. And as a guy who dreamed of, you know, ever scoring a goal in the NHL, I was surprised by some of the answers. Some of the answers took me to where I thought they were going to go, and some of them made me going, what, really? And I love that you enjoyed the Rob Skrlak story, because Rob's one of my favorite stories in the book. And Rob's a guy who took everything from the game that he absolutely could. He thought the highlight of his hockey career was when he got a tracksuit in Junior A in the Rocky Mountain League, but he had much more to take care of than just that, and he ended up scoring a goal in the NHL.
Well, I honestly say this, and I'm not just kissing your butt the way you do with Kyle Brandt of NFL Network. I got to say this. There should be a statue of you bronzed for what you're doing for the great sport of hockey, and I'm talking about your other books, but this one here, it's just hockey stories, Ken. It's not that groundbreaking. But nobody's really doing it. Nobody's really sitting around in a public forum and just telling hockey stories. And that's what you're doing in your books. That's pretty cool in my mind.
Thanks, Rod. I appreciate that. And I like telling stories about the guys whose stories have never been told. Because if you score a goal in the NHL, that's a great accomplishment. If you play one goal, one game, that's a great accomplishment. And a lot of fans will say, oh, that guy sucks. No, he doesn't. He does not suck. He might not be the best player in the NHL, but you go on the ice with him. But I love telling these stories, and I love giving these guys a voice. And it's nice to talk to people when they appreciate being talked to. Like, a lot of the guys in here, they'll end up saying, thanks for remembering me, or thanks for the phone call, and I enjoy that. And don't get me wrong, I love the books on the superstars. I devour those as well. I would love to write one day on a superstar, don't get me wrong. But everyone has a story, and I just kind of go by that, and away we go. But yeah, bronze statue. I mean, I've got an ego, Rod. That'd be pretty cool.
I'll be honest with you. People wouldn't believe it with what you're saying, but guys think that they're forgotten. And Don Cherry was on here 2 weeks ago. And I said, Grapes, all the hockey guys say you got railroaded and they miss you. And he got choked up. He goes, I thought people were forgetting about me. Ken, you couldn't fake what Don Cherry was saying on our show here a couple weeks ago for that reason. It's hard to believe that people would think that. Now, having said that, I've written a few books myself, and when they're done, you always feel you miss some, and you're going to something, and you're going to be hearing, you probably already have, from people that are other members of the One Goal Club, but here's my story of Al Tuer. Al
nice.
House Tuer. You
hey,
know
Brett
House.
Noilers.
Yeah, well, he was scored it with Minnesota. And he's now a pro scout, I believe, with Florida Panthers. But here was his story. He scored one goal ever in the NHL, and it was on Mike Liut. And when House was coaching the Moose Jaw Warriors, this is what he held over the players' heads. You need to listen to me because you never scored a goal in the NHL. Have you scored a goal in the NHL? And Kyle I believe it was Kyle Brodziak, finally scored one in a brief call-up, and House is like, I can't say it on him anymore.
Lost my street cred. Yeah, well, that's funny because Al's right. I mean, I would be like Al. If I scored a goal in the NHL, I told a lot of guys this. I'd have a T-shirt of myself made up that said I scored a goal in the NHL. I'd have a tattoo of it. Some guys don't talk about it at all. I would go the Al Tuer route. That's the route I would take. But
using it all over everybody, yeah.
Oh, yeah, be everywhere. I'd have a billboard outside my house, everything.
Well, if you ever do an addendum to this, or a second, you know, whatever you want to call it, you can put that in there. But have you heard from other people that have said, hey, I only scored one goal? You can talk to me. I want to tell my story.
I heard from a buddy who was in another book of mine, one of my hockey card books, and he scored one goal as well. So he texted me and covered the book. He's like, oh, am I in this one? I said, no, I already talked to you for the hockey card one. But I have a lot of fans going, did you do a story on this guy? Did you do a story on this guy? Did you do a story on this guy? Yes, maybe. But the thing about the book is 39 guys, approximately at any given time, the list of one goal scorers in the NHL is around 400, because that'll obviously change if a guy comes along, gets one, and then gets another one the next week. But just doing the research, I mean, about 6,500 guys have played in the NHL, 1,500 of whom didn't score. So to score one is very special because there's over 1,500 skaters, not goalies, skaters who played in the NHL who never scored. And that alarmed me that that total was that high. So when you tell the guys in the one goal club that, you know, Rob, there's two ways of looking at everything. And I'd much rather be positive. And time heals all wounds. So guys who thought they got came out on the wrong end, they've learned to appreciate their one goal. But what amazed me is there were some guys who just, I scored, whatever. And I'm the Al Tour school for sure.
I know. Oh, I love it. I just think it's so great. And again, you're no dummy, Ken. You always put these out just before Christmas with enough lead time. So where can people pick it up?
You can pick it up at Amazon.ca, Amazon.com, Chapters, Book City. Support your local bookstore if you can. Go out and buy a book at your local bookstore, please. It's available all across Canada. And it was fun to put together. It's a fun read. It's not the thickest book. My books aren't too thick. They aren't as thick as I am, but they're easy reads. And it's just like hopefully sitting around and just having a conversation, because when I called the guys up on the book, they said, how much am I going to tell you about one goal? And I just said, let's see where it goes. So you start the tape recorder up, as you know, Rod, just like this interview, and you see where it goes, man. I didn't come in with an agenda, but the conversations took me in a lot of places. And I guess my favorite story in the book would be Frank Beaton. Never, seldom, rarely, always, time to retire, right?
And in the minute that we have left, Colby Armstrong, you mentioned the forward, the old arm dog, proud Saskatoon kid. Did it come about that you got him to write it, and was he honored? I would assume he was.
He was, Army and I have become good buddies. I mean, honestly, like we see the game the same way, and we laugh at the same things. And I asked him to do it, and he was honored to do it. So we did it up, and his wife, Mel, just ordered a bunch. She showed me a box of them, and he said, yeah, this is way more reading than I ever did on the bus in the WHL. So I'm honored to have Army in there.
Well, people have a lot of time, and Ken Reed just said where you can get it, folks. I appreciate your time today, Ken. Keep it up, man. We're watching every day, loving what you're doing. Stay safe out there.
All right, Rod. Thanks, buddy. Pucks in deep, bud.
There you go. Yeah, you got it. Ken Reed joining us from Rogers Sportsnet. Somebody wrote in here and said, Ken Reed, funniest guy on Sportsnet. It was John Ohm from Winnipeg. Frenzy and I return after this on this Flame Tech Football Friday. You're watching on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Flame Tech Football Friday continues. John Frenzy's with us to the bottom of the hour, so that's not too far away. I'm going to go back to the Prairie mobile text line here. We're going to be, I guess, pinballing back and forth between football and hockey. Bob in Grand Prairie, Alberta, writes in. He says, affiliating with an American league in any way will only involve in them wanting their rules. It's just the way it is. Keep the CFL Canadian. Talking about the struggles they currently find themselves in. From the 591, since he watched, did John Frenzy see how the commentators on Thursday Night Football talked and showed pictures of Frank Trpucka, first quarterback of the Denver Broncos, his number 8 retired by the Broncos, a rider previous to and after his time in Denver. Pretty cool story. What do you remember about Frank the Trigger Trpucka?
Tremendous quarterback, Frank the Trigger Trpucka. Couldn't run, but had a quick release. Had some great receivers, Stan Williams, Max Beattie to throw to, Jack Russell back in 1953 to 56. It was fantastic. He really worked well with the running backs, Bobby Marlowe and Ken Carpenter, two of the best for me in the National Football League. Carpenter had been an all-star running back with the Browns, and they got him, and then they went down there. Bob Kramer went down and signed the number one player in the American college football in 1952, Bobby Marlowe, Blazing Bobby from Alabama, he came to Saskatchewan Roughriders. The world was shook up by that. He was the New York Giants had drafted him number one. They thought he was a cinch to go with them, but the Riders got him, and he and Carpenter were the running back pair, and they worked very well with Trpucka because he had a trigger arm. He used the running backs well in the passing game, and he was a great leader, tremendous football player, great guy too, real good guy. He's been back here a couple of times. I've talked to him, and he's about 88 now, and that's not old, by the way. And he's really a super guy and a winner. Hey, we made the playoffs every year under Frank DePugo as a quarterback, but didn't get to a Grey Cup. He came back later on after he left here in 59, and he came back as a coach. Then he wound up being a playing coach because we had no quarterbacks. So it was quite funny, and he finally left here in the early 60s and had a big party when he left because he'd been with the Rough Riders twice and contributed so much to the success of this football organization. A truly great guy, and he's in the Rider Plaza of Honor, of course, and the CFL Hall of Fame, too, I think. Nice man.
Okay, thank you.
Notre Dame.
To the text line from the 902, Jamie in Nova Scotia says, great point about the Blackhawks, RP. Haven't been connected with the Hawks since Vegas knocked them out. Wouldn't surprise me, though, if they changed, but now I'm clear on the Hawks standing their ground with the Blackhawk name. Thanks, RP. That's from Jamie in Nova Scotia. And I just, for whatever reason, looked it up. It's not that hard to find the Chicago Blackhawks. I know why. Because a Chicago Blackhawks fan, a diehard, wrote me and said, the Eskimos, good, gone, time to go, leave, wrong. And I said, says the Blackhawks fan. So before I got up in his face, I wanted to double check and see what the history was on this. And the Blackhawks said, listen, and I'm loosely paraphrasing here, but they were basically saying that the Blackhawks is for a local Indian, or from back in the day, tribe, band. So careful of what I say, because I don't know what's going to offend anybody anymore. And they said the headdress is for the top of the band position, and we want to honor that with the name Blackhawks and our logo. And I said, we're not changing it, because we did it for the right reasons, basically.
Five Stanley Cups.
Again, I don't care anymore.
Five Stanley Cups. I'm glad to hear him say that. But Edmonton said the very same thing. But unbelievable pressure in Edmonton was the reason they're changing the name. I still don't know specifically what it is, but they're changing the name, and they're right now.
Because you know what it is. You know what it is. The sponsors founded it.
Well, sponsors. Yeah, sponsors. Yeah. But I want to know what sponsors have that kind of power. Because I'm surprised they did it. I mean, I love that logo.
Bel Air Direct. Which I don't even, Bel Air Direct was one sponsor. Don't even know what they are. And Boston Pizza, whom I love. Reportedly Boston Pizza is what I hear. But back on track to more interesting topics to me. Our poll question today for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center is, who will play games first, the CFL or the XFL? And you saw earlier on, Frenzy, from the couch probably, that it running away with it early on with 87% of the vote was the CFL.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Well, that's come back a bit. Now it's 73% are saying the CFL will on Facebook respondents, and the Twitter respondents are saying 61% of them are voting in favor of the CFL. The reason why, and it is a Flame Tech Football Friday, so I want to talk football with you. I still see no reason why things are going to change. I don't agree with the measures taken against coronavirus in this country. In Florida, they're just saying, screw it, we're going back to normal. You saw that, right?
Yep.
The Lightning were admonished by the National Hockey League for their Stanley Cup celebrations and celebrating with fans. I'm sure the Lightning just said, thanks for the note.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have a good fall.
Yeah.
But having said that, in Canada, it is what it is. And it's not changing. It's the way the government is elected to deal with this.
We do a great job here, by the way.
That's the point. I'm not arguing with what they're doing. I think it's excessive, but I'm not out campaigning and holding a picket sign.
Yeah.
Because my life is fine. I have to stop feeling terrible for the others whose lives and careers have been ruined by COVID controls. They can speak for themselves, I guess.
Amazing.
But I'm told nothing's going to change until the spring. Government's not budging. The CFL cannot, John, plan for next year if they don't know whether they're going to have fans in the stands or not.
No, sure can't.
You know that.
No way. No
way. So the point is simply this. If there's a snap of the fingers and the government says, okay, come May 1st of next year, large gatherings, but we don't know that that's coming because nobody can predict that. How could the CFL plan to play under that scenario?
Can't.
They can't, in which case they'd be wiping out the 2021 season too. So if both leagues were coming back in 2022, The XFL would kick off first, second week of February. I voted for CFL, by the way, but I'm just saying the way things sit right now, today, nothing's changing in Canada.
I think the CFL will try very hard to play next year. Very, very hard. I think this meeting is a great, in with all the leagues together in Toronto. I think that's a fabulous thing. I'm glad to see Ezrin's talking about it. Good. He's a leader out there, boy. And they'll wind up going as far as they can. But you're absolutely right. Can they go on the field or not? Ugh. Might be tough. And the government said no, not till October, to get rid of this epidemic. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough. And I don't want to go two years away.
Of course you don't.
We went 1 year not with the team not here. And I think it hurt. Now, if we go two, we're coming right from scratch. If we come right from scratch, how many fans will fill that park? They love the Rough Riders. Yeah, but a lot of them have died, unfortunately. A lot of them are ticked off. And it'll take a lot of reselling. So you can't lose that quarterback, can you?
From, what do you mean? You think Cody Fajardo's going to die?
Cody Fajardo. Well, you can't. If he can't play for 2 years, he's going to want to play. If he can't play next year, he's going to want to play. He'll definitely want to play in 11.
They all want to play.
Yeah, but he'll be very much wanting to play. He'll get offers. He'll get
you liking
offers.
This, Grant?
He'll get
live studio audience over here.
Good Grant Stewart, the good guy. He'll get offers.
John O'Flynn, he's watching in Vancouver. He says the XFL will be the first because of the football culture there. You'd have to explain that a little more to me because I don't necessarily think the culture of the CFL is bad.
It isn't.
So maybe XFL's better? I don't know.
Oh, I think the culture's pretty good.
Chris Bird in Toronto says the XFL will not have to deal with crowd size restrictions like the CFL does. Until the CFL can figure out how to make money in this environment, it is on hold. Boom! I agree with you. There's the mic drop comment right there, Chris. As long as this environment doesn't change. And again, government officials and health experts have loosely told me that nothing's going to change, no matter how much pressure is put on them by the sports community, the industries that have been affected, live events, entertainment, music and arts, they're not budging.
Do you honestly
think? So why would we believe the CFL will play next year if they're not playing now?
Yeah.
Say what?
But I don't. The XFL will not play next year either because
we know that.
Do you think Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, will spend much time in football?
That's another really great question.
I'm telling you, he said he's going to get Trump to be his commissioner.
Oh, stop it.
Well, if he loses the election, well, maybe he will. But he'll have to get somebody to go around recruiting all these places. Because
where did you hear that? Where did you hear it? Because somebody wrote in here earlier and said that The Rock endorsed the Democrats.
Well, okay.
Do you know, Grant?
Democrats.
He's a Democrat guy? So he's not going to hire Trump to be his commissioner?
Well, they might.
So sometimes I think you dream these things.
They'll hire anybody that they figure he's got a lot of connections. More than an electrician.
He's got more connections than an electrician. Do you get that one? Well, listen, you're asking how much would The Rock have to do with the XFL? Well, I would think, never met him. I hope to one day.
He's too busy.
No, he's not too busy. I think that he bought this league for a reason, because he's a football fan. He's played pro football. He's got more money than anybody. I looked it up today, 15 million Twitter followers. I think he will put in as much time, John, as he has to. Is that fair? As much time as he wants.
Well, he'll have to give up some of the other stuff then.
How much other stuff is he doing?
Those are fantastic shows he puts on.
He's acting. He's not writing the shows.
He recruits the people. He stays there and watches them. At least the one I saw this year, he was at all those shows. So, okay, it's going to be interesting to see. That's a great story you have about why they would go first. It might happen that way. It's important. Once again, unless Lazarick will love me, it's important that we go this year for sure. We got to go in 21. We've got to keep in contact with those guys. And we've got to tell everybody we're going to go in 21 in January for sure, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
To get them to sign. Huh?
Yeah. I'm going to let you go. Any last word, Lynch, from you?
That's been very good. Great afternoon. Great to enjoy it. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good job.
Yep, a lot of fun.
Thank you, Grant. We got Dupes is going to slide in next. Special guest coming up in overtime. It's the Lynch Walk-Off. You're watching the RP Show, a Flame Tech Football Friday, everybody, right here on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Just love this show so much. I really do. Talking sports in the daytime. Nobody else is doing it. You know that, right? We got breaking news with my favorite team. Hang on, it's coming. But first, a sports update for The Tap, Brewhouse and Liquor Store, and G2G Protein Bars. The Miami Heat could be without point guard Goran Dragic and all-star Bam Adebayo tonight for Game 2 of the NBA Finals. Dragic has a torn left plantar fascia, and Adebayo has a newly diagnosed neck injury. Coincidentally, I'm battling both of those two.
That can't be good. Can't be good.
The LA Lakers lead the series 1-0. The San Diego Padres host the St. Louis Cardinals tonight in Game 3 of the National League Wild Card Series. San Diego rallied to beat the Cards 11-9 last night. The Padres became the first team in postseason history with 5 home runs from the 6th inning onward in a game. The Cubs and Marlins resumed their series this afternoon, a day after poor weather caused a postponement at Wrigley Field. Miami leads the best of 3, 1-0. But maybe without outfielder Starling Marte, who has a non-displaced fracture of the bone running between his left pinky and wrist. I think I got that, too. The sports update for the Tab Brewhouse and Liquor Store, drive-through liquor store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua and Regina. By the way, liquor sales humming during the pandemic. I go in there to see my boys at the Tap, and their drive-through liquor store is just like a friggin'
it's like a McDonald's.
It's like a McDonald's. Zoom, 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 zoom. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G protein bars, the best you'll ever have. Not joking on that. 7 amazing flavors. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours at g2gbars.ca. By the way, you know what I was saying? I've been going to my chiropractor and I'm feeling broken down and I'm getting old. I felt very good talking to your better half. I don't mind you saying.
Yeah.
She went to the same chiropractor, same issues, and got the same advice. You didn't tell me that. She had to tell me that.
I didn't know.
What do you guys talk about?
Not that. Not about broken down fingers and legs.
No. It was... Put your monitor up. So he's telling you, you're looking down all the time. That's what he told me. That's what he told her. So maybe I'm not that old.
Wow.
And I said, I do got to get back into yoga because I haven't had yoga in the pandemic and I'm struggling.
Feeling stiff. What do you do for the, because we're always looking down, phones, but you need to combat that on a daily basis. And I don't know. You got to look up.
Oh, here's, by the way, Brett Thompson, and he's not saying this to be a jerk. He says, this desk job you have, Rod, sounds physically decimating.
Stop.
I only sit here 2 hours a day, all right? And I do work out every morning, and I'm pretty active. But for whatever reason, my neck's been screwing up. Monty Klassen writes in and says, get over it, please. Everybody loves it. You were waiting for it, weren't you, Clark? Monty, you get over it.
Isn't the steam
now?
Isn't the steam supposed to help with that?
It does help.
Good.
I was sitting in my brand new steam the other day, going, "I have just recreated Florida."
And now your phone
in my house.
And now your phone is waterproof, so you could probably be.
I've had it in there.
Twitter in there.
The screen started to bubble up, and I'm like, "No, no more of this."
Yeah.
Breaking news from my Vegas Golden Knights. Let's see it, Clark. Do you have it handy? You said you did. Here it is. The Vegas Golden Knights have unveiled the new jersey today. I haven't seen it yet. Gold jerseys. I gotta say, I'm stunned they hadn't done it before. Like, that doesn't seem new to me. Of course, I'm gonna have to buy one. Of course.
You would have thought that'd have been day one.
You would have thought they'd had it already. Yeah. So Gary Lawless has that on his Twitter feed. Our good friend Gary Lawless, go and have. They got a whole video with Wayne Newton and the Bellagio. Man, they do it right down there. It's exciting. But I think you actually reacted to my tweet last night on my Instagram post about those New York Jets black jerseys last night. I thought they were pretty sexy with the green helmets. And I said I'd like to see the Riders go to this. And of course, got the Samaral. You don't know what you're talking about, George and Ronnie. That's the way it's supposed to be. And I didn't respond to anybody. I just sat back, dropped that stink bomb, and let everybody talk about it.
And there were merchandising people writing in and current CFL players that are saying that thought of not wanting to try anything new, not wanting to try anything outside the box, is what's killing the CFL and certain teams right now. What can it hurt to go to that jet-style black base with green and white trim?
Yeah. Why not?
Let people, if they want to buy it, buy it. Look, maybe wear it for one game.
Looks super cool. Be really intimidating.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And have the green that just pops.
This is hilarious. Jeff the Stamps fan writes me and says the Riders did have that, Rod. Really? You don't think I wasn't there? I remember the day that they put them on sale. I went straight to the store and bought one immediately. And I still have it. There's no numbers on it. I got a lot of great photos of me wearing it at various Rider events. Does this guy know what I did for 20 years? Does he know?
I'm not sure.
Of course I was there. I'm aware. They also haven't worn it in 15 years. And Darren, where were you 15 years ago? In high school-ish?
Yeah.
The furor over the Riders wearing those black jerseys back then was unbelievable.
But that was...
going against tradition!
Was that Nealon Green, Kenton Keith?
All those guys.
Right? Like, it was cool. I thought it was cool. But you understand, right, when you do that, and then they go back to something, you know, like what George and Ronnie wore, like the white and then the old helmet. It makes that much more special. And it means that much more when you go back to the classic look. You know, you need to mix it up once in a while and have something different.
Well, and adding fuel to the fire. Roy Shivers was our general manager at the time. I was all for the black jerseys. I think I just proved that because I went and bought one and I still have it. I was going through my jerseys the other day. Roy Shivers said, and I think it was on our radio show, women like black. Well, where do you think it went from there? Like it was all... can you imagine now?
I know.
I'll say this about those times in sports. Don't cry that they're over, smile that they happened. Just the stuff that was being said, the stuff that was being done.
Never again.
When Shiv said it back then, I laughed my ass off. Because that's Roy. And the people that know Roy wasn't always the nicest to me, but you know what? I'm not always the nicest to everybody. It is what it is. And people always said, that's just Roy being Roy. Is that a good enough excuse? Anytime Shivers did something that ticked people off in the league or in this town, it was, that's just Roy being Roy. And then Roy. It was just forgotten.
I know. And I mean, that's not an excuse, or you shouldn't have the excuse for, you know, treating people poorly. But you understood. You understood where you stood. You understood what he was all about. And that it was just, you know, who he was, right? It wasn't personal.
The viewers from Nick McConnell, the Regina Pats have had some very nice special edition jerseys. From John Ohm. Those black uniforms were awesome on the Riders. Have a pink jersey. Have a damn purple jersey with green polka dots. Have a jersey of every color. That's what I think. Soak your fans for every dime they have. Because they'll pay it. Right?
You mean you don't have the purple edition?
What's wrong with you? Ew. Now people get mad. Who cares? Again, full circle. Comes back to our first point. Teams are so afraid of offending anybody anymore.
Yeah.
The Warriors with their logo, the Riders with their black jersey. We might upset the traditionalists. We might upset the Lancaster family. Oh, my God, who cares? You're so afraid of doing anything, you don't do anything. That's where we are. Write it down. Don't you agree?
I completely agree. Like, we're...
rant.
Sent it
rant.
A couple of times. John Tortorella said it about a year ago. When he said there's not enough hate in sports, right? There's not enough hate in sports. Now, it's a fine line between hate and rivalry and being rude and disrespectful, right? And being offensive. Like, there's a fine line. But the hate and the nastiness and the competitiveness needs to be there. And we're so scared of being wrong. We're so scared of being wrong, and we're scared of losing, right? You always want.
I'm not afraid of either because I've done a lot of both.
Done a lot of both
in my life,
but every loss makes the wins taste that much better. Adversity, right? Like everybody wants to be safe, and you know, I don't want you to get scratched up, but I still want you to win the trophy, right? Well, it doesn't exist. Like we have to be willing to take some risk to achieve something great.
I've just hit on it in my own mind. They're too afraid of doing anything, so they do nothing. It's a sports problem. I'm not talking about any specific team. Alan Lee, the intern. Like the Staples button. That was easy. The Rod Peterson Show has the rant button. Rant, rant, rant. Brought to you by Bronco Plumbing and Heating. By the way, they put the steam into my place, and it is working like a Swiss watch. Bang! Todd Pinckney says, 1,000 times correct, Rod. We offended. We didn't offend anybody. Maybe we did. I don't care. We've hit on the what it is. You're afraid to do anything, so you do nothing.
Yeah, and it doesn't really come back down to like Eskimos or Warriors or Chiefs or Redskins. Like that is a completely different issue. If it's offensive, that's not sports or taking risk about. But it's like
a third jersey shouldn't.
You know, you're marketing. You're scared to market a player or you know. Talk about your team's, you know, struggles or that you've lost a few games. Like, we're scared to lean into a rivalry or take a shot at the opposing team to try and create a buzz. Like, we're scared. And sports is going to die because we're scared to take a risk. If you want to, you know, everybody to be happy and live in this kumbaya world, then play recreational sports where it means nothing and nobody will pay to come.
Yeah.
People want to feel something.
Well, it's like Zahn was on here last week saying maybe it's passed him by sports and entertainment. I'm like, no. I think we're going to pull it back, Zahnie, and you're going to be on our team. We're going to pull it back because we're doing it over here on our own, and it seems to be going well.
Mm-hmm.
We got a break. Thanks, Dupes.
You're welcome.
Overtime in next with some special guests. We'll be right back. It's the RP Show, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Hold now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the overtime segment. Just a carryover from the last. We were talking about the Riders' black uniforms, and I'd like to see them come back, similar to what the New York Jets wore last night. Norm Fong's watching, the Hall of Fame equipment manager of the Rough Riders. He says, Rod, the players loved wearing those black uniforms. I remember when they came out, they were blaring Men in Black over the sound system. The guys were jumping up and down like they just won the Grey Cup. Look good, feel good. Right, Normie? It's a thing. Okay.
Awesome.
Guy knows a little bit about that is Jerry Flegel. How you doing, Jerry?
Very well, very well.
Longtime friend of mine, running for the mayor of Regina election. They're telling me to pull the mic in a little bit for you closer there,
closer?
Jerry.
Okay.
So first, we got some big news that we're going to drop on the program today. But more than anything, I'll just open up with how are you doing? How's the campaigning going?
I'm going well. Things are going well. We've got a lot of initiatives going. I've introduced a bunch of different things. The vision for Regina is what I'm focusing on, and it's a lost art, and we need to get it back. So what I'm going to be doing today is talking a little bit about and a lot about because it's an entertainment and sports facility that we need to bring to downtown. The Brandt Center, as we all know, and anybody that's in the sporting world, has a pretty good idea that it's past its prime. And when we're going to be talking about redoing one and rebuilding one, you can build a hockey rink anywhere. Doesn't matter. You can build it anywhere. But if you're going to build an entertainment and sports facility, it needs to be for our city downtown. The energy needs to be downtown. We have to renew Regina and downtown. The hospitality industry, the retail industry, all the different areas, commercial, residential, everything focuses around downtown. And when you look at a city the size of London, Ontario, which is a little bit bigger than Regina, but I didn't want to go and compare it to Calgary, Winnipeg, and Edmonton, because yep. they're NHL cities, right? These are OHL cities, like we are a WHL city. We are a destination place. We have a great volunteer base. We have a great sport complex of people that want to come and work in the city. So what we're trying to do is when we bring this stadium to the downtown, it's just going to regenerate the whole city. I don't like to use the word revitalize, but we're going to renew it. Because it's going to bring us a bigger facility. It's going to bring us energy to the downtown, and if it, there is no other place that it should be. And I know there'll be some naysayers out there, but I've had nothing but positive energy about this so far. And what it's also going to do is it's going to clean up the downtown. It's going to rejuvenate it. It's going to get rid of a bunch of empty lots that we don't have, that we have currently today, that are sitting there vacant and empty because nobody wants to do. The other thing I was told by one of the people that's looking is and talking to them is that when you start to spend money in the city, investors want to start spending money in the city, and that's the whole key to this whole thing. It's not going to be a hockey rink. It's going to be a concert. It's going to be maybe pro basketball for Canada. Lacrosse is another big one. World Juniors, as an example, we shared the spotlight with Saskatoon because our facility wasn't big enough. And maybe now we might be having a facility that size. But on a local level, it's there for the cultural part of it. It's there for the rejuvenation of downtown. And I think it's just going to be a great site.
As you know, I owned a restaurant downtown. So I will say this. So there'll be business downtown after 5 p.m.?
Apparently there will be. And, you know, the thing is, when you look at the London model, they encourage people to use public transit, which is right there. So you come down to an event, a concert, a game, or whatever, 5 o'clock, either go for a bite to eat, come in down the bus, hop back on the bus, go home, no drinking, no driving, no any of this kind of stuff. And then there's cab, there's Uber, there's Lyft, share rides, and all that other kind of stuff as well. So we're building on the infrastructure that we already have and going to build, and like you said, the restaurant industry, the hotel industry, all of the different industries that are down there, even the office, commercial office space, people will start to energize and maybe want to move their office here because there is an energy downtown and that's lacking. This is not to say that it's going to take away from any of the outlying areas mm-hmm. because everybody needs to go to the Brant Center today, but we're going to focus on bringing them downtown. And even London, Ontario told me they do shuttle buses from all of the different venues around the city, bring them there, take them back, and then they disperse them from there after the fact. So lots of room for everybody, and everybody can share in the wealth of a great, healthy downtown.
Jeff in Calgary says he is right. A vibrant city center is vital to being a popular, world-class city. Now, Jerry, you came in here and like you ignited a... you detonated a bomb sure, with what you're saying absolutely. Here. So people are writing in. John in Winnipeg says, build an NHL-sized rink in Regina, please. Well, that's not what you're saying. I don't think that's what you want. You're talking about, if elected, a new entertainment facility downtown, and what would be the capacity?
You know, that is determined yet. I'm hearing 12, 13,000. If you don't have an NHL team, you don't need to go to 20,000 or 18,000 like Winnipeg. And I appreciate the comment, but we don't think, I mean, in the next years that I've ever heard, we're not going to get an NHL team. So we need to be realistic about the size, but we need to look at a vision now the next 50 years. Because you think about it, in 1970, somebody had an idea to build the Agrodome back in the day. In 1992, the council of the day in London, Ontario, had a vision to build a stadium, and in 2002, it was built. If you tried to take it away from them today, everybody in the city council would be taken out, and you know what? And that's what I was told. The tourism industry in London, Ontario, for the arena, the Budweiser Arena that it's called now, it used to be John Labatt or something like that. It's just tenfold to what the downtown is gaining. And if we don't build it here, people are always talking about, well, what's it going to cost? What's it going to cost if we don't put it down here? It's going to cost our downtown its livelihood, its lifeblood, its everything. Energy in the downtown spurs to everywhere else in the whole city, like one of your people has said.
Wow, you can multitask.
I'm trying.
John in Winnipeg says, so basically building a convention center. Is there a component to that?
No, not really, because it'll be, there'll be room to use it if you want to for different events, because you're going to have, if you want to have political parties come to it, absolutely you can do that because it's a big open space. If that's the kind of conventions he's talking about. We do have the Everest site as well,
right.
And I'm not taking away from that. but because they've done great work over there. And the same with the economic development people. There's some certain things that are going on that are going to do it, but we need a central hub, and downtown is the only place, and it's going to clean up the downtown. So twofold, threefold. I've talked to the downtown people, and I've always said, we got to stop putting Band-Aids on everything. As you, through a restaurant, know, you got to pull the Band-Aid off and fix the problem. And away we go. And I think this is it.
Well, I'm a little out of my lane doing a political interview, Jerry, but I'll say this. As I spoke with your people ahead of this, I'm a sports person, so I'm behind it. I'm all in. I'm like, yep. Where do I sign? But you know there are those that are going to say, a sports facility in a pandemic? They don't even want an election in the middle of a pandemic, let alone talk about building a sports facility. What do you say to those people?
Thank you. And I was going to mention that. I mean, we are absolutely dealing with COVID. But we are expecting, this is not going to happen tomorrow. This is a vision of where we need to go. It's no different than when we talked about other facilities that were being visioned out in 2010 or 11, and they come to fruition today. So getting a vision of what I've got in mind going is what we need to do. And if you all of a sudden want to throw something in 3 years later, you're going, oh man, now we're 7 years behind. At least now, if we look at something that, yes, it's not, we're not building this tomorrow, and we have to deal with COVID, and I'm going to be making sure as mayor that we deal with COVID and what the city can do and work with the province to get us through this, because maybe in the summertime everything will be a lot better. So we can start to look at this. But my vision and my plan is that in the first 6 months of being mayor, we are going to put something on paper to make sure that this is not forgotten about, because the people of downtown, the people of the city of Regina, the healthy energy. I mean, I'm reading some of your other ones here, and somebody built a stadium out in the outskirts in an OHL city team, and it failed. And that's Winnipeg Gold Eyes did it right with the downtown stadium. Again, a ball stadium, which is going to connect. Here's the other part. Now you have a downtown vibrant, and it's going to connect to Dewdney Avenue, which is where my vision is to bring a ball diamond and pickleball courts and
downtown.
Yeah, the whole thing. I mean, you go to a Red Sox game and there's 1,000, 1,500 people there. They can disperse and go downtown. They can go across the Pedway. They can go to the casino. They can go to the entertainment spots around on Dewdney Avenue that will be there. They can go buy an electrical switch right there because they're there. They can go buy lumber because the other lumber yard's right there. So if you bring the people down, and it's not just downtown, it's Dewdney Lands, it's everywhere, it encapsulates everybody.
I can tell you 50 extra people a night in our restaurant, 10 nights a month, would have made a big difference.
Absolutely.
To our bottom line. Yeah. Did we have an image? Producer Clark was saying, no, we were unable to get that. Okay, well, Jerry, where can they follow your social media to get the designs for
just
what you're talking
about? Go to the Regina Jerry Flagel for Mayor, and we're going to be posting everything that we've got and ask some questions on there and talk. And it's, you know, again, it's preliminary. It's a vision. It's something that we are going to put into concrete at some point. And we want to clean up downtown and make Regina the vibrant city that it can be, because I believe the 230,000 people that are living here deserve a healthy downtown.
Awesome. Jerry, thank you. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Appreciate the time as well, Rod.
All right. And that concludes our Flame Tech Football Friday. A big thank you to our NFL insider, Tory Gurley, for coming on. John Frenzy and Sportsnet's Ken Reed promoting his new book. And have a safe weekend, everybody. We'll see you 10 a.m. Monday here on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.